Fight Radio.
Arguments are not going to attract people. Winning is going to attract people.
Radio.
Radio.
The Poor People's Riot, as they call it, was necessary, it was reasonable, and it was just.
Radio. And if you get in my way to make sure that that man gets housing, or that he gets enough to eat, I will move you.
Radio. Radio. Radio.
Okay.
Hello and good evening. Welcome to another edition of OCAP Radio as part of the Friday Night Word of Mouth show on 88.1 CKLN. This is Mike Roche in the studio, and we've got a packed show for you this evening. I'm going to start out with a couple of smaller items, and then I'm going to be joined here in the studio by John Clark, of one of the organizers with OCAP, to have a little discussion about the hot topic of the day and of the week here in Toronto, which is, of course, the TTC fare hike, which has been not only proposed but now implemented and accepted by the TTC Board of Directors earlier this week, a decision that has obviously enormous ramifications for any number of communities across the city and for virtually the entire population of the city. And we're going to be speaking specifically about the effect of that increase on poor communities and on working people around the city. But to kick things off, I just want to bring people's attention to another situation going on in the city of Toronto, which I'm not actually sure, to be honest, if this has been mentioned on the show before, but stay with me if you've already heard all about this. There's a situation going on at Street Health, one of the larger social agencies in downtown Toronto, where Gaetan Héroux, a long time OCAP member, and in fact a good friend of this program, has been on the show very, very many times, and you know, quite frankly, one of the leading organizers and activists when it comes to fighting against the cuts to services that have been a long time policy of the city government in the downtown east side. In any event, Gaetan Héroux is employed actually by an agency by the name of Neighborhood Link, but through an arrangement with Street Health, he has been working out of the Street Health offices on Dundas Street, which allows him to coordinate the carrying on of ID clinics, which is essentially a function where he operates clinics that allow homeless people and others without a permanent address to be able to order ID. In any other circumstance, they'd have no way of ordering driver's licenses, health cards, passports, etc. And his being able to work out of the Street Health offices allows him, in fact, to carry on the activism that he is so well known for. It allows him to work closely with the members of that community and in fact to serve them the way that he needs to be able to, because he can just simply walk out the door and be able to find the people he needs to find. Now, what's going on at Street Health, sorry, you're going to have to bear with me, the story is slightly convoluted, but we are heading towards a point of action that I'm going to mention to you. But what's been going on at Street Health is that the workers there have unionized, and in the past couple of months there's been an effort by management at Street Health to decertify the union and to root out, as they say, some of the people that organized the union and that have been, you know, pushing for increased workers' rights there. The efforts to decertify the union have thus far, I'm happy to say, been unsuccessful and look like they are not going to be for the time being. But Gaetan, who has actually spoken out, because he's employed by a different agency, he's not a member of the same union, but he has spoken out in support of the union and against the union's, or against management's union-busting tactics. And for that, for the support of his fellow employees, he has been informed that he's going to be forced out of the downtown east side and relocated to Scarborough. This is an attack on everybody who relies on Gaetan's services. The ramifications of this, if he is forced to move, are going to be enormous. Will be enormous, not only for the people who rely on him for their ID clinics, but also for the state of organizing and activism in the downtown east side, where he is nothing less than a pillar of the community. There is a rally coming up this Monday, November the 23rd. It's going to kick off at 12 noon in front of Street Health. I encourage everyone to come out there. I realize I just rattled off a whole bunch of information for you all to take in. If you want to do a little bit more reading on this, I'd encourage you to check out the OCAP website at www.ocap.ca, or do yourself a little Google search for Friends of Street Health. Check out some of the videos they put on YouTube, etc. But do a little bit of reading and come out at 12 noon on Monday the 23rd in front of Street Health. Street Health is located at 338, that's 338 Dundas Street East. It's just slightly east of the intersection of Sherburn and Dundas, just on the north side of Dundas Street there. And I'll repeat that information at the end of the program. But for now, I'm going to move on and invite, I don't actually know where John is, but I presume he can hear me and slide on into the studio to talk about the situation going on with the TTC fare hike. So for those who don't know, starting January 3rd, 2010, the cost of a token will go up 25 cents. Cash fare goes up 25 cents to $3. A Metro Pass will go from $109 to $121. And essentially, the commission also voted to add $3 million in service improvements, which, when we break it down, comes down to the fact that you're going to be paying a hell of a lot more for the exact same TTC service. Now, anybody who relies on the TTC will tell you this is a huge, huge blow. But specifically, and John, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks,
Mark. I wonder if you could throw in a few thoughts about specifically some of the communities that OCAPS works with that are in the periphery of the city, that where, you know, it's not necessarily a situation like downtown where you're everything is within a couple minutes walk. They may have to commute to work. They may have to commute to the school. May have to commute to get the basic necessities, etc., and the effect that it'll have on those communities and those folks.
Yeah, it's certainly true that for people that live in suburban communities, and a huge proportion of people who are low income in this city live in suburban communities, the impact is going to be absolutely dreadful, because there's absolutely no choice but to have access to the TTC. It's an absolute necessity to have access to public transit for people. And it's going to create a situation where people face exclusion, where people can't travel. And it's also going to be a situation where people are going to have to pay the cost of transit literally out of their groceries. And it's happening, of course, at a time when economically it couldn't be worse. We couldn't be in a worse situation for this to happen.
So since you mentioned the economy, obviously it's hard to escape talking about the economy. Everyone's focusing on the fact that the federal government, the provincial government, etc., are crying broke. They say they have these huge deficits, etc. And obviously, the TTC fare increase is coming in the context of the city, although they can't run a deficit, saying much the same thing. They need to cut costs, etc., etc. So, in order to sort of cut through that, what's your sort of take on all this new crying we hear from Queen's Park, from Parliament Hill, etc.? Where are these deficits coming from all of a sudden?
Well, I mean, we had a situation where for decades and decades, when neoliberalism was being rammed down our throats, we were told that deficits were the worst possible thing, that they couldn't be tolerated under any circumstances, and things like schools and healthcare and income support and the things that people needed to survive were unaffordable luxuries and would have to be given up in order to ensure that it wasn't a deficit. And then all of a sudden you have this financial meltdown and a great crisis, and the whole notion of deficits is suddenly reversed. It's necessary just to get the printing presses going and hand out money right, left, and centre. Trillions of dollars internationally was handed out to banks and corporations, billions in the context of Canada. And now this has suddenly, of course, created higher deficits and debt loads. And suddenly, again, the debts, within the space of a year, the debts again become something that's absolutely unconscionable. We can't allow it. We're going to have to fight this. Flaherty at the at the federal level talks about inflicting pain on people, which he's quite experienced in doing, and we have the provincial government saying the same thing. And not to be outdone, we have the left winger on council, Joe Mahavik, talking about the need to ensure that the measures are taken that are necessary and departmental cuts happen. And that's the climate that's been created, and that's the context in which this TTC increase takes place.
Mm-hmm. So we've got these enormous deficits, as you say, trillions of dollars handed out in essentially bailout money, if you will. And then all of a sudden we have these cuts coming down. The TTC is just one example. But, you know, it's interesting because really it's not just a fare increase that we're talking about. You mentioned that a lot of people are going to have to take the increased transportation money out of their grocery money, but it's true across the board, no? In terms of the fact that this is essentially for many workers the equivalent of a wage cut, in the sense that they're now in a month going to be learning less in real dollars than previously if they rely on transit to get to work.
Well, that's certainly true, and I think what we need to remind ourselves of is that if you look at what they've just done, is that they haven't solved the problem with this increase. I mean, the problem from their perspective hasn't been solved, because there's still an amount that they're going to have to talk to the higher levels of government about getting. And by their own projection, this is now a pattern that's been set. We're not talking about this happening and then some years later them talking about another increase. We're talking about the real possibility of an increase of this magnitude on a yearly basis for the next 4 years. That was the discussion that was taking place in the council chambers when the commission was meeting. So yes, this is a real hit. It's a huge increase in terms of percentage. But we might be looking at increases taking place regularly now. Because I mean, the writing is on the wall. There's less chance than ever. It's less likely than ever that Queen's Park is going to put in more money, or that Ottawa is going to begin to put in money into the TTC. And of course, the commission, which is the TTC, which is dominated by the so-called lefts on Toronto City Council, takes the position that in that situation there's nothing we can do but to do their dirty work for them and pass on the cuts. It's true that if you look at the figures, relative to most North American communities of significant size, there's an incredible lack of subsidy by the provincial and federal governments going into the TTC. That's not untrue. Nobody disputes that. Compared to the United States, in Canada, the federal government doesn't fund local transit systems, and that's appalling and all true. But if we genuinely had a progressive administration, the attitude they would take is it's unconscionable to increase the fares in this way, and we're just not prepared to do it. And they would rally support, and they would challenge what Queen's Park is doing and not doing, and the same with Ottawa. But of course, that's not even within their frame of reference. They'll just dutifully pass on the cuts, point the finger of blame at the higher levels of government in the standard buck passing way that politicians do, and stick the knife in people, which is appalling and disgusting.
I know we're focusing primarily on the TTC cut today, but since, you know, it's hard to take the TTC fare increase out of the context that we've been talking about, and I know that within OCAP, you see not only the TTC increase, but these attacks, or this attempt to sort of force the poorest in society to pay for these deficits and for these bailouts that have gone out, is not limited to the TTC by any stretch. So I wonder if you could just briefly go over any other areas where you've seen the city government, the provincial government, etc., attempting to sort of target the programs, the services, etc., that people rely on to survive.
Well, I think we're at the beginning stages of a process of a massive drive for austerity coming out of all of the levels of government. Dwight Duncan, the the finance minister of Ontario was speaking in terms of the size of the deficit, and it's no secret that the provincial government is looking at a whole series of cutbacks that I think it extremely likely will be considerably worse than anything that happened during the days of Mike Harris. At the city level, one of the things we're struck by in the OCAP office, and we get a lot of calls from a lot of people and are able to sort of have our finger on the pulse of what's going on, is the degree to which the social assistance system is trying to save money by simply denying people the things that they're entitled to, the entitlements that they should get, and that they're being denied. So there's this stepped up kind of covert operation to chisel people out of the things that they actually are supposed to be entitled to under the rules of the system. People's benefits like the special diet, and people's benefits like community startup, the things that people need out there in communities, when they apply for those things, even if they're perfectly entitled, they're being denied. So that's one of the sort of the first indications, but I think it's going to get much worse than that, quite honestly. We're going to be dealing with, from all three levels of government, very, very significant cutbacks. And you can hit people, as you pointed out, in one of two ways. You can cut a program, or you can increase costs, and the people have to pay out of their pockets. And we're going to see a situation where people's access to services and people's level of income goes down, but the cost of the things they need go up, and that's going to be a feature of the period that's ahead.
I want to just touch on a couple other things regarding the TTC. We've had this fare increase. And you made the point right off the top about the ways in which people rely on the TTC. It's not really a choice for many people to use or not to use the TTC. It's a necessity. But the fare hike aside, I think it's fair to say that there are a number of issues regarding service that the TTC provides. You know, what I'm trying to get at here is the fact that, there are a number of routes, for instance, that are extremely highly serviced, and there are a number of routes that are not at all serviced, and there's a sort of geographical correlation to income in terms of that. And if you look at the subway expansions that have taken place, certainly the proposed expansions, and you made the point that the federal government barely funds the TTC at all, and yet when it comes to expanding the subway system up to the 905, etc., and we all know about the Shepherd Line, a subway line almost to nowhere, all of a sudden there's billions and billions of dollars available for these projects. And when those projects are completed, when these expansions are completed, of course, these are all going to simply add to the operating costs of the TTC, again, on the backs of people. So I realize I'm kind of ranting more than asking a question, but if you have any comments about the sort of service that the TTC provides in terms of its relation to poor communities.
Well, I mean, it's clear that there's really two sides to a public transit system. As it exists in Toronto, and as I think it exists in most major North American cities, is that there's a relatively efficient and adequate system of moving people into the central area of the city who are going to work in the central part of the city, and to get them back out to the relatively privileged suburbs that they live in. And then there's people in communities, low-income communities, who need to move around, and they are rampantly neglected. I mean, you must, anyone who's at all familiar with the TTC in the suburbs would have to recognize that. I mean, if outside of the subway lines, once you get out into the suburban areas and have to use bus service, it's clear that this is an infrequent, unpredictable, grossly inadequate service, they're not, of course, talking about dealing with those issues. They're talking about making that system no more adequate, but of course now making it less accessible because of the increases in the prices. I mean, we don't have a system of transportation that is designed to really give people the ability to participate in society by moving around as they need to at a cost that they can meet. And that's an appalling issue of people's quality of life and their rights as residents of this city.
Okay, there's just two more aspects of this I want to touch on. I'll just comment on them briefly. You could add any thoughts you want, John. One thing I wanted to point out to people, because these are just a couple of aspects of this TTC hike story that you're not going to be hearing about on CP24 or in the Toronto Star most likely, which is that, first of all, already people who are on social assistance and are doing volunteer work receive a transportation subsidy. And already at this point, with the MetroPass set at $109, social services does not meet the full cost of that of buying that MetroPass for people. With the increase of up to $121, it's now going to be even more in addition. So people who are on social assistance and are doing volunteer work or in addition to doing volunteer work, just need to, you know, get around, get to school, get to whatever. Or actually, I should say not to get to school, I suppose, since the students have gotten a break. But who need to take care of their business are going to be paying even further out of pocket. And the other aspect is that within the sort of double edge of this is that the city of Toronto has also already been sort of cutting down its expenses through the back door by eliminating a lot of the money that it gives out to social agencies to buy tokens for people. It's a fairly common practice at social agencies for people to be able to go to the staff there and ask for a token if they need to get to an appointment, if they need to get to an interview or whatever it may be. And those budgets have now been slashed back. So you have a situation where the people who are in the most desperate situation are going to the people that are supposed to help them. The city's saying there's no money for that, you have to pay for it yourself, and they're getting hit on the other end because when they have to pay for it themselves, the price has gone through the roof.
Well, those things are both true, and certainly there's going to be no measures to deal with the additional hardship that's hitting people. In fact, quite the reverse. So you can expect those cutbacks to get worse. You can expect people to get less access to TTC money through the social agencies and through social assistance. But I think that raises a question that we should really focus on, is that this particular attack, which, as we've said, is going to be one of a myriad of things that's coming down, is going to have to be resisted. It's going to have to be opposed. I don't think we can just say Jambroni and a bunch of people at City Hall got together and made a decision, and that's how it is, and we're just going to have to find a way to come up with the costs, and people are going to have to just get on the TTC and pay up and give up their kids' groceries to do so. I mean, in the 1930s, when there was widespread hunger, people made a practice of going into restaurants and taking them over and taking the food they needed. And we've had a few exploratory episodes along those lines ourselves. I think we're going to have to start organizing communities to survive. We're going to have to start accessing the TTC. We're going to have to find ways to get people onto the TTC and avoid paying the fares in large-scale actions and through individual initiatives and all kinds of things. Transport is a necessity, and if they deny you a necessity, you have to find ways to get that necessity, and that's something that I think is true. Our perspective is not just to have some sort of like protest against what happened and think that's the end of the day. We're going to have to start, as part of a survival strategy, accessing the TTC.
All right, I think that's an excellent place to leave it. If you, I would encourage everyone basically to watch this space. You'll hear about it on OCAP Radio, as well as on the OCAP website at www.ocap.ca, to stay tuned for actions that will be coming up in resistance to this TTC fare hike and all the other cuts and hikes that are coming down the pipes. We're going to take a very short musical break and come back with a few other announcements and whatnot. Thanks very much for coming on the show, John.
Thanks, Mark.
And we'll be right back. Into OCAP Radio on the Friday night word of mouth show on 88.1 CKLN FM. This is Mike in the studio, and we just had a good discussion with John Clark of OCAP. Thank you very much to John and to his son Sam for coming into the studio and talking with us this evening. I just want to go over a couple of other things to make sure that folks are aware of what's going on around the city. There's a couple of events coming up, well, sort of before the next show, either before the next show or the night of the next show. So get out your calendars and take down some information. A couple of very good events coming up in the next week to let you know about. First of all, on Thursday night, November 26th, actually right here in this building that I'm sitting in, the Student Center at Ryerson University, which is 55 Gould Street. And this is, again, next Thursday night at 6:30. There's going to be an event called Crossing the Borders, Creating a Just Healthcare System for Immigrants and Refugees. The question is going to be asked, what would a just healthcare system in Canada look like? And there's going to be a discussion specifically on the sort of barriers that are put in place to prevent immigrants and refugees from accessing the healthcare that they need when they enter the city. I'll just let you know a little bit about some of the panelists. It's a pretty killer panel, to be honest. Mac Scott of No One Is Illegal and OCAP, and as well as being a immigration paralegal, is going to be speaking. As well as a woman by the name of Nell T, who is represented by Mac, and she is going to be she's a refugee who's come to Canada who has a number of prominent health issues, and she's going to be speaking out. It's going to be a very powerful event, I believe. She's going to be speaking out about her experiences of attempting to access health care when she came to Canada. And also Bob Gardner of the Wellesley Institute, and very excitingly, a fellow by the name of Dr. Paul Colford. If people aren't familiar with him, he operates a clinic in Scarborough called the, it's technically called the Scarborough Urban Health Outreach Center, more colloquially known as the Clinic for the Uninsured, and he's going to be discussing the clinic that he's a part of out there, which is has achieved a very high amount of regard for operating free health services for people without status or without health coverage. So again, a pretty good panel coming up Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. right here at 55 Gould Street, the Ryerson University Student Center. And then next Friday night, you should, of course, tune in to the Word of Mouth program from 6 o'clock to 7, and then once you finish that up, you should head down to the Concord Cafe, located at 937 Bloor Street West, in the vicinity of Ossington Subway Station, where there is an event to celebrate the launch of a debut album CD by Rafif Ziada, who is a absolutely unstoppable unstoppable organizer in the city of Toronto. If you have ever come out to any of the events of the Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid, then you have most likely seen Rafif and her absolutely inspiring work on behalf of the Palestinian people, as well as being an outspoken activist and organizer and supporter of OCAP. So she's put out a spoken word CD by the name of Hadil, and it is her launch party next Friday night, again at the Concord Cafe at 8 p.m., 937 Bloor Street West. And a reminder to close off the show that there's a demonstration in support of Gaetan Eru at 12 o'clock noon this coming Monday at Street Health, just east of the intersection of Sherbourne and Dundas. And that's about all the time we have for this show this evening. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in. Thanks to Kelly and Kelly for coming and checking things out. Thanks to Mark. Thanks to Susie for teching. John and Sam for coming in. And stay tuned. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.